We'll move to discussion item, action item number three, discussion and possible action of the fiscal year 2009 comprehensive annual financial report, CAFR, by John Hawes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. It is January, so it is time for us to present our annual report. You all on our financial condition for the fiscal year 2009 that ended August 31. And this presentation will do so. You received in your material the detailed what we call the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. It's called that because it's in compliance with GFOA, the General, the Government Finance Officers Association thing. But next slide. And I'm going to go through just a few highlights of the report, and then we'll introduce our auditor, Mike O'Brien, here, and he'll talk about the audit process. Next slide. The purpose, obviously, of the annual report, present the financial results of operations. We do it in accordance with GAAP. We do it in accordance with government accounting standards. We also are in compliance with federal and state auditing standards, which we do through the single audit, because we have state and federal grant programs that require audit. Next slide. Some of the report highlights. The CAFR is, as you all know, is really a historical document. It's a look back at the last year. It's done, again, in accordance with GAAP accrual-based accounting. That is to be compared to the annual operating plan, the budget, which, of course, you all approve in July, and that's prospectively looking forward to the next year. And then, of course, every quarter we bring a monitoring of our report of our budget each year. And the budget, of course, is really on what we refer to as a modified cash basis. There is some accrual, but it's primarily a cash basis. So there's sort of a reconciliation that I'll do here to try to reconcile the numbers between the CAFR and the budget. Next slide. Again, the report itself, three sections. There's an introductory section that has several information, including organization charts and management, includes a transmittal letter, which summarizes the year's activities. Then the financial section, which is really the section that the auditors focus on in their work, which includes the financial statements and the notes to the financial statements. And then there's a statistical section at the end, which is really unaudited. The auditors review that, but it has a lot of statistical information about the authority, both financially and operationally. Next slide. This is where I will try to explain the sort of the difference between the budgeted numbers that were presented to you in October, this last October at the end of the fourth quarter for fiscal year 09. You can see in the first column, the original budget that you all adopted back in July was indicated a projected surplus of about $1.5 million for the year. In the final year, we ended up with significantly more than that. Again, this was reported to y'all in some detail back in October, where we had a surplus of over $9 million with significantly more revenues and lower expenses than projected. Again, just as a reminder, one of the significant reasons the revenues were as much higher than they were is we sold a large amount of interruptible water during the summer, this last summer, due to the drought situation and stuff, and that was unbudgeted revenue that we received. And so you can see, and then the CAFR, if you look, the surplus, or the, if you will, the net income that the CAFR represented was almost $7.5 million, a little bit less, almost $2 million less than the 9.3 on the budget side. And you can see down here I've summarized them in about five different categories. The reasons, sort of the ins and outs, if you will, pluses and minuses, that then get back to that 7.5 that get to the CAFR number. The first one being depreciation debt service. From a budget standpoint, we put the principal repayment of debt service in there, but of course, from a GAAP standpoint, that's not an expense, but depreciation is, and depreciation is not in the budget since it's a non-cash item. So the difference between those two, there was actually more depreciation than there is debt service. That's pretty much the case each year. So that creates a reduction, in this case, $4.6 million reduction from a budget standpoint. Then recognition of deferred revenue. We have some contracts at our lakes where we receive money at the in revenue from when the lakes were originally built, that we're required to defer some of that revenue over time. And so that's what that represents, and that will we have some of that each year. That, again, is not a budgeted item, but from a GAAP standpoint has to be recognized. Capital contributions net, we received about $1 million this last year to help us pay for certain capital projects that we have. They're in the budget, but they're on the capital side of the budget, so they're not really in the operating part of the budget, which is what we're talking about here. So we have to add, and yet you have to recognize those as revenues. So we add those in as additional revenues to the budget number to get to the GAAP number. Capitalized interest, income, and expense. When you have projects in process, you're required under GAAP to sometimes capitalize the interest income and the interest expense into the cost of the projects. We had some of that, $124,000 on a net basis. That's the net of the income and the expense, so that's a reconciling item. And then the last item, capitalized expenditures and others. Actually, in the budget, we have expenditures in our budget that are capital in nature, where we buy equipment and replace vehicles and the like, and other smaller sort of capital projects, and we have that in the budget. But when you get to GAAP, you can't expense that, so you actually take it out. So that was a reconciling item. So those are the reconciling items that bring us to the CAFR, and hopefully helped explain. I know it's sort of complicated and involved, but helps to sort of reconcile the budget of the GAAP. Any questions on that? I'll be happy to go into more detail if anyone.
I have a question.
Cares to, yes.
This sure is complicated. Is there a discretion over how we report this, or is this part of the government reporting requirements to be half in, half out on your modified cash basis?
Well, from a CAFR standpoint, from a GAAP standpoint, there's not much discretion. There's certainly a little bit from time to time is recognizing, but we make those judgments, and then our auditors, and Mike may talk to this in a minute, sort of look at that and make sure that they believe it's compliant with accounting principles and stuff. We believe so, and
just seems awfully complicated.
the difference? Well,
in the three methodologies.
Right. Well, from a standpoint, from y'all's management of the authority, certainly budgeting is important. I mean, more of a cash basis, or again, I call it a modified cash basis, because there is some accrual of expenditures even on a budget side. But things like depreciation and things like capital contributions and capitalized expenditures, those things are always going to happen in this type of organization as far as comparing the budget to the thing. And hopefully the way we budget is transparent and understandable to y'all and makes sense. I think it's meaningful from a standpoint of y'all's management of the authority being more on a cash basis.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Next slide. This is the last slide. This is part of my presentation. Then I'll ask Mike to come up. And this is simply just to show you the trends. Pick some key operating, key financial indicator type of numbers for all of our lines of business. Just showing the trends. Operating revenues have gone up over the last 3 years, as you can see. Again, 2009 was a little bit of a larger increase because, as I said, interruptible water. We don't necessarily anticipate having that $2 to $3 million of additional revenue in 2010, but you never know, depending on conditions this next summer, that we'll sell that much interruptible water. That was a little bit unusual, say the least. So revenues were up. Operating expenses are trending up. Some of the operating expenses are a little higher this last year, primarily depreciation. We brought on some additional capital projects that have completed, and so we had some additional depreciation in fiscal year 2009 that we didn't have as much of in prior years, so that's driven that. So it's not really a cash basis, but it's more of a GAAP basis. And you see the operating income as a result of that. Interest expense, there was a little bit of interest expense. Looks like it really went up in 2009. What really happened is in 2008, it should have been higher than it would have been higher than that, except we capitalized some interest expense back in that year due to a project, and so it would have gone from 5.9 to 6.5 up to 7.4 and would have been a more steady, but we pulled some interest out to capitalize it and put it in the project in accordance with GAAP, so that creates a little bit of a, it doesn't stair step up quite as much as you'd expect it to. Investment income, you'll see in a minute when I get to the investment report, it continues to decline because investment rates of return are so low and continue to be low, and so over the last 3 years, unfortunately, our investment income has gone down. It's pretty much down about as low as you can get from a rate from rates at this particular point, but it has decreased over the last 3 years. Then non-operating items, you can see that there was a fluctuation in the middle of the in 2008 due to a settlement we had, and then down the bottom, working capital has again it went up a little bit in 2008. Do the settlement, and then it's about where it is. And then total net assets, that's really the equity, if you will, that the authority has. That's like if you're a company, that's what the value, if you sold all your assets and paid off all your liabilities, that's theoretically what we'd have left if they were all sold for the value that's on the balance sheet. So anyway, that's what's happening there. Any questions on that? That, again, that's just sort of a summary, pretty high level. The CAFR has pages and pages of detail in it. Be happy to answer any questions either here or later whenever you all might have some about that. Okay, next slide. This is where I'll introduce, as I mentioned, Mike O'Brien. Mike is a partner in charge for Paget Stratemann. This is their first year of audit. You all may remember that you selected this firm this last year, and this was their first year of the audit, and Mike is here to present their results of the audit and get any of your comments.
Thank you, John. If you go to the next slide, I am Mike O'Brien with Paget Stratemann. We're here to report on the results of the audit. Just want to let you know who the audit team was, as it's the same teams we had in our proposal. I have got all my contact information there. We do work for the board, and we work with management in doing the audit, but we do work for the board and the audit committee. If you ever have any questions or concerns or issues, feel free to contact me. Next slide. The scope of the audit that we were engaged to do is covering the financial statements. As John mentioned, that's the financial section of the CAFR. When we do that audit, we do review all of the disclosures, the accounting policies, etc. Make sure that they're in conformity with all of those rules that John had up on those slides. When we do that audit, we do review the internal controls on the major transaction cycles. We don't issue an opinion directly on those, but we do have a responsibility to report to the board if we become aware of any material weaknesses. And this year there weren't any material weaknesses in the internal control structure that we became aware of. Our opinion on the financial statements will be unqualified, which means clean opinion. That's what you want to hear from your auditors, that the financial statements are fairly presented. On the next slide, part of the audit, as John mentioned, is on these federal and state award programs. That's generally toward the back of the book, and there's really not anything in there this year because from a federal standpoint, the level of expenditures was less than the cutoff. The cutoff is $500,000, and the total federal awards is $449,000, so there was not a required audit report to be issued. From a state standpoint, we did review the Possum Kingdom Airport grant this year, and we'll issue a separate report on that. There weren't any findings, which means there was no non-compliance with any of the regulations that we found during the audit. Moving to the next slide, there are certain communications that auditors have to go over with boards, and that's what I'm going to go through here for several slides. If you have any questions or it sounds confusing, please let me know. There weren't any changes in accounting principles during the year, so if you compare this year's financial statements to last year's, all of the standards are the same. River Authority did implement GASB Statement 50, which is really disclosures on the pension plans. Those were really pretty minor, and they're included in the footnotes. It really just brought some of the unaudited information that was back in the unaudited section up into the footnotes. On the next page, there will be some changes next year. There's a couple of new accounting standards that are going to be adopted next year. GASB Statement 51 deals with intangible assets, things like easements, water rights, patents, etc. That will have some impact on the authority's financial statements, primarily in terms of classification on the balance sheet and whether or not some of the water rights are amortized or maybe not if they're deemed to be perpetual assets that don't lose value. So that will be something we look at in 2010 audit. GASB Statement 53 is on derivatives. Right now, that won't impact you at all because there aren't any derivatives, but if you were to hedge any sort of interest rates or interest rate swaps, that's where you would get into application of that standard. On the next slide, there are, financial statements do include estimates. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. That's part of the normal process. The significant estimates I've listed out for you in the authority's financial statements, we do review all those, make sure they're consistent. There hasn't been any changes in how they're going. The authority estimates those, and we didn't have any concerns over those items. From a disclosure standpoint, which is all the footnotes to the financial statements, I kind of give you an idea of really what are the, in my view, what would be the big ones if you wanted to look into those anymore. The investments, of course, are always significant because there's a lot of investments in the marketplace these days. They tend to go up and down a lot. But from the authority standpoint, at least in my view, they're pretty conservative. 88% of the investments are in cash or CDs, so there's really not a lot of market risk out there, and they're pretty short term. The weighted average maturity is about 9 months on those, so there's not a lot of interest rate risk either. The long-term debt, of course, is a significant disclosure, and there's pages and pages of information on that. It's significant because it's 68% of total liabilities. It's just a large number. We do review all those disclosures and make sure everything's adequately described. I know a lot of times you're always concerned about debt service coverage, and the authorities' debt service coverage is disclosed in those footnotes, and it was 3.6 last year, which is well over, the required coverage of 1.1. Revenue recognition is always a significant policy just because that's pretty critical to any organization, so that's generally common to every organization. There was the question about all the different bases of accounting. And I will grant you, governmental financial statements are confusing because most of them, there's three different bases of accounting. If you budget differently than GAAP, and that's what we have to live with this day and age with these accounting rules. But
if I may, so are you saying that most government accountings have the three methodologies?
Yeah, most governmental sorts of organizations like cities, counties, school districts, particularly if they elect to budget on a non-GAAP budget basis, which many organizations do, that's pretty common. In the authority's case, you really don't have any what we call governmental funds, like a general fund. So it's really, there's two different bases of accounting because everything's accrual. In a city or county or school district, you'd have a governmental basis, you'd have the accrual basis, and then the budget basis if, for management purposes, you chose to do that. So that's pretty common.
Thank you.
There weren't any significant difficulties during the audit. We did receive full and complete cooperation from management, and appreciate all of the patience and asking lots of questions in the first year. We tried to turn over all the stones and rocks we could to make sure there wasn't anything that we weren't aware of. During the course of the audit, that we didn't have any audit adjustments, which indicates that the financial information you get every month or quarter is in good shape. There weren't any past adjustments. In other words, any of those insignificant items that were just small enough that they didn't really have to be recorded. So there's nothing carrying forward into 2010. We do receive a standard representation letter from management, which represents to us that they're in agreement with all the financial statements and all the accounting principles. And to the best of our knowledge, management didn't consult with any other accounting firms over any auditing or accounting matters. This goes back years ago to when, you know, the kind of the savings and loan crisis, when if you didn't like what your auditor was saying, you go find another one. So there weren't any of those sorts of issues.
If I may, the government accounting standards statement number 50, if I'm reading this properly, that in footnote 7, that's been disclosed properly?
Yes, sir. That's right. Okay. Previously, that sort of information was back in the back part of the CAFR and the required supplementary information. It's still there. Just some of it is now brought up into the footnotes. So that is all done correctly. And then finally, on the next page, with respect to the CAFR itself, as John mentioned, our opinion covers that financial section, which where the financial statements are. We do review all of the other information, the statistical section and the letters and whatnot. The management discussion and analysis has a standard required format. We go through all that and make sure that there's nothing in there that's inconsistent with our understanding of the financial statements or the required disclosures. We've done that, don't have any issues with any of it. The report, once you adopt it, is going to be filed with the Government Finance Officers Association, and there's a volunteer set of people like me out there across the country that'll take all these CAFRs that come in, and they'll look at them and check them against the checklist, and then when they agree that everything's in accordance with their rules, you'll get a certificate back from them. And I'd just like to point out, I went online and did a little research. There's only three river authorities in Texas that go to this high level of standard for these disclosures. So it's kind of a testament to the fact that you've got a good staff and you want to make all this information public. So I wasn't sure if you're aware of that or not, but that's to me, that's a good thing. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is an action item. There is a resolution here to adopt the CAFR and to approve its filing with TSEC. We also send it to other entities, but we're required to send it to TSEC under statute. So this is a resolution. I'll be happy to read it. Be it resolved by the Board that the Board of Directors hereby accepts the Brazos River Authority's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2009 and approves its filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. The Chief Financial Officer is hereby designated to file the report and the annual filing of the affidavit with the Executive Director of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
You've heard a reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Moved by Ball. Second by?
Second.
Second by Ward. Please poll the Board.
Presiding Officer DeCluitt?
Yes.
Director Zaccanino?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Belt?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Beshear?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Mackey?
Yes.
Director McKnight?
Yes.
Director Porter?
Yes.
Director Scott?
Yes.
Director Sloan?
Yes.
Director Tesh?
Yes.
Director Ward?
Yes.